Hello and welcome to ABCs of Marriage and Parenting Adult Children podcast. My name is James Moffitt and I'll be your host. Today is November 21st, 2023. Episode 7 will be somewhat unscripted and I'll be talking about topics for future episodes. I think November the 1st was the last episode. That was episode 6 where I spoke about boundaries. I want to let everybody know that's listening to this that I'm not a therapist. I'm not a marriage counselor. My wife and I have been married for 33 years, and we've raised 4 children, and we've made our fair share of mistakes. We're not perfect parents. Our children are not perfect children. And yes, we have one or two children that are struggling with adulthood and struggling with making good decisions. And we started our Facebook support group because of the issues that we were facing with one of our children. And that child, she is doing somewhat better. She's still struggling a little bit, but I think that with a little bit of support and assistance and encouragement from us and her friends, that things are going to work out, which is good news. So I want you to know that you're not alone. There's lots and lots of parents out there that have young adults. We call them adult children, but they're really adults. We've raised them. We spent 18 years feeding them and providing a roof over their heads and providing the best education that we can or could. And now they're spreading their wings and going out into the world and making a life of their own. And they're adulting just like we had to, and they're learning how to be productive citizens and hopefully lawful citizens. And as we all know, no matter what age you are, you're still prone to making mistakes. And life is a great teacher. And when our adult children make bad decisions, our first response sometimes is to help shelter them from the consequences of those bad decisions. And honestly, when we do that, we're just enabling them, and we are not letting them learn important life lessons. So I've kind of gone into, I'm adopting or learning how to use artificial intelligence, AI. I've been in technology for 28 years, and I've read about AI, and I've heard about ChatGPT and all these AI bots that different technology companies are coming out with. And I've pretty much kind of steered clear of them, especially when it comes to my writing. I write stuff on Substack, and I write stuff on Medium.com, and I don't use AI to edit any of my stuff. I use my own knowledge of the English language and grammar and punctuation and all that, and I edit my own stuff, and I just feel like using AI in some aspect is cheating. Well, one of the things I've struggled with this podcast is coming up with good topics. And I want to come up with topics such as boundaries, healthy boundaries, that is relevant to your relationship with your adult children, and give you information that you can use on a day-to-day basis, right? I want you to be able to listen to these podcasts, podcast episodes, and I want you to feel encouraged. I want you to feel like you're getting help. I want you to feel like you can listen to these podcasts and be directed to the resources that you need to deal with the issues that you're dealing with. Now, the interesting thing is, There's a lot of information out on the World Wide Web, the internet, the interwebs, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of information when it comes to raising children. There's a lot of information with regards to raising teenagers. There's not a lot of information, however, on raising adult children. And that's kind of a misnomer because your children are no longer children. They're adults. And you've already raised them. So now your role has changed from being a parent and having a parent-child relationship to being a mentor. You still have a parent-child relationship because they're always your children. I don't care how old they get. Your children are always going to be your children, right? And they'll always be near and dear to your heart, and you'll always want you want them to be successful. You want them to be happy. You want them to not make the mistakes that you made or I made when I was young or when I became a young adult. When I was in my early 20s, I was a train wreck. It's probably a miracle of God that I'm still sitting here and talking and breathing. Sometimes it takes a little luck. Sometimes it takes some prayer. Sometimes it takes the school of hard knocks. Sometimes it takes support of family members and other siblings. But anyway, I said all that to say that we're all learning this. No matter what age you are, no matter what age your adult children are, no matter what stage you're going through with them, it's always going to be a learning experience. And as they learn and as they progress in their maturity level and make better decisions with regards to the issues they're having, then things will get a little easier. You know, your adult children will mature. They will learn how to make better decisions. They'll quit leaning on addictions, sexual addictions, alcohol, drugs, whatever it might be, gambling, poor budgetary decisions. They don't know how to budget their money. They don't know how to pay their bills. And so sometimes we become the bank of parents, right? We are the interest-free loan bank. They come to us and with their hand out and want us to help pay their light bill or their car payment or their mortgage or whatever it might be because they spent their money on stupid stuff, on toys and iPhones and drugs and partying and anything but doing the adult thing, right? So it's just a matter of them maturing and learning from the school of hard knocks, you know? When you don't pay your bills, you lose stuff and utilities get turned off. Cable bill and water bill and electric. And if you don't pay your bills, those utility companies they'll give you a little bit of slack. But if you don't pay, they'll cut you off. So they need to learn those sort of things. I remember when I had to learn it the hard way. I had to learn how to look at my income and budget, you know, my living expenses at very minimum. I had to learn about saving money. These are skills, hopefully, that during the 18 years that we have our children, hopefully it's a skill that we imparted to our adult children. How to budget money, how to pay your living expenses, how to save for the future, how to save for emergencies. And there are courses out there like Dave Ramsey and others that are there for people to learn the skills that they need when it comes to money management. I wished I'd have taken more of that when I was younger, but I didn't. I had to learn through the school of hard knocks. And my wife and I have gotten a lot better at it. So anyway, I want to talk about some topics that I want to explore further in future episodes. One of them is navigating transitions. Explore how parents and adult children can navigate major life transitions together, such as career changes, moving out, or getting married. And these are normal life transitions that don't involve any sort of abuse or abusive language or physical abuse, or this is natural. This is a natural course of life. Career changes, moving out of the house and getting their own place and getting married, falling in love, dating, courting, getting engaged and getting married, right? These are normal things. Effective communications. Discuss strategies for fostering open communication between parents and adult children, addressing challenges and maintaining a healthy relationship. Part of maintaining a healthy relationship has to do with healthy boundaries. Letting your adult child know when they cross the line and they are communicating with you disrespectfully, when they are cursing you or calling you names or telling you they wish that you would die or a number of horrible things. We read the messages on our Facebook support group, and it's just astonishing to me the abuse that some parents have to deal with. And I just want to say that you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to accept that behavior. If you're at work, would you allow one of your coworkers to be verbally abusive towards you? Would you let them curse you? Would you let them be rude or be uncivil with you? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't tolerate that for a second. And your HR department has strict rules about that sort of behavior, and that it is not acceptable and it will not be tolerated. You can lose your job over that kind of stuff. So addressing challenges and maintaining a healthy relationship. That takes some work. It goes two ways too. Parenting styles evolution is number three. Explore how parenting styles may need to evolve as children become adults, and how to strike a balance between support and independence. If you've been a parent for any length of time, which I'm sure you have, or you wouldn't be here, what works with one child won't work with another. Different things motivate different people, or I should say different motivations, or different motivational tools work differently with different children or different adults, right? Some children, you can put them in timeout. Obviously, adult children, can't put them in timeout anymore. But if you think about, the formative years when you were disciplining your children, putting one child in a corner for 15 minutes was good enough, but some children didn't care. You might have to like take their iPhone or iPad or computer or internet privileges away from them, or ground them and keep them from going out with their friends on the weekends. And there are different things that you can do, different methodologies that you can use with each child to get their attention. I think they call it behavior modification. But there are different parenting styles. Again, I'm not a parenting expert, so that might be a research topic. Number four is a good one, technology and parenting. Delve into the challenges and opportunities of parenting adult children in the age of technology, addressing issues like digital communications and social media. This is especially important when you're adult child is a teenager, from when do kids become teenagers? At 13, 14, 15? When your children are adolescents or teenagers, when I turned 18, I graduated high school in 1980. The internet hadn't even really been, or I should say, internet access for a typical home wasn't available. The internet was accessible to colleges that were linked together via the World Wide Web. Scientists and technologists had access in 1980, but it was further on down the road. I don't know exactly when, 1985, 1988, whatever. You know, you had AOL and Prodigy, yeah, Prodigy, AOL, Prodigy, CompuServe, you know, where you had a modem that you stuck in your computer and used your phone line to listen to a squall, and you connected to AOL, and you got mail, and, you know, all of that hoo-ha. Yahoo Messenger, and it wasn't Facebook back then, it was MySpace. You know what I'm talking about. But today, adolescents and teenagers that are that age in the 21st century, they were born into technology. Technology's like, it's a second nature to them. They, you know, what do parents do when they have technology problems? They go to their kids, they go to their teenagers and go, hey, I don't know how, you know, I'm having problems with my email, or I've got spam or a virus on my computer. How do I get rid of it? Or how do I look this up? You know, how do I find something about whatever the topic is? And kids just, they're born into it now, and they take to it like a, you know, insects to a light, basically. Well, the double-edged sword of having instant access to the internet and social media, and unfortunately some parents don't understand this, but they just give them free rein. They don't ask their children or their adolescents or teenagers what they're involved in. You know, are you on Facebook, or are you on MySpace, or are you on Snapchat, or are you on TikTok, or are you on all myriad, a whole host of social media platforms that are out there that our kids, it's almost like our kids, if we're not careful, our kids are going to be influenced more by social media than they are by their parents. You know, back in the 80s, when I was a kid, we were called latchkey children. And we were called latchkey children because our parents were at work and we had a key to the front door. And when we got out of school, we'd go home and do our chores and study, get our homework done, get ready for our parents to come home. So we were, for a large part, unsupervised. That's why they were called latchkey children. Or we were, rather. And they even had, in Europe, they don't have that problem. Because in Europe, my adoptive mother was Austrian. And she told me that there was no such thing as children being at home alone. The kids got home after school, the grandparents were there. And the grandparents took on the parenting role while the parents were at work. So to a large degree, the children that were in European homes, they didn't have the opportunity to get into mischief and trouble like I did. So I guess what I'm saying is that technology and parenting's pretty huge, and we need to make sure that as parents that we instill our values, our religious values, our political values, our family values into our children. We need to teach those things to them and let them understand what's important. Why are we teaching you about religion? Why are we teaching you about our specific denomination? Whether you be Catholic, Protestant, Jehovah's Witness, Buddhist, Mormon, you know, think of a religion that you can think off the top of your head. If that's part of your life and that's the way you were raised as a child, you want to impart that spirituality or religion to your children and teach it to them. They may not, as adults, they may grow up and go, yeah, I'm not into that. That's what my kids did. They were raised in church for a majority of their childhood and adolescence. And when they turned into adults, they walked away from church. We're not happy about that. We wish they hadn't have done that. But maybe at some point they'll find a need for, you know, God in their lives, and hopefully they'll come back to their roots because they were certainly taught those things. So, addressing issues like digital communications and social media is very important, and it's something that you need to do before they actually become adults and can tell you to go take a flying leap, right? I'm amazed at, 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds that have smartphones. I know parents that are buying their, or I knew parents, I don't really know them now, but I knew parents that, their 12-year-old had a iPhone 8, 7 or 8 or whatever it was back then, whatever iteration or model of iPhone was out, or Android or whatever it is. And in this day and age that we live in, there's a lot of violence, and you have school shootings left and right, and as the liberal media likes to call it, gun violence. And we as parents want our children to be safe, and we want them to be able to call 911 and communicate with us in case there's a problem like that, right? I get that. But children, they don't need a smartphone. They don't need a smartphone that gives them the ability to get on the, use all these social media apps. A phone is a telephone. Its first primary function is to be able to make a phone call, dial 911, call your parents, call your friends' friends. But no, they don't do that. They want to get on Snapchat and TikTok and Facebook and Yahoo Messenger and Facebook Messenger and all these different social media apps. They use it for everything other than a telephone, which is the danger of it, I guess. I'll get off of number four. I'm a little bit opinionated about number four. You probably can't tell that. Here's an interesting one. Number five, multi-generational dynamics. Multi-generational dynamics. Examine the dynamics of multi-generational families, including the role of grandparents and how they contribute to the support system. Now, as parents, we deal with multi-generational dynamics. In other words, our parents raised us like probably the default is they raise you like their parents raised them. And their parents raised you like the parents before them, the grandparents and the great-grandparents. So different generations pass down different parenting styles and different attitudes, methods, methodology. And so as we're parenting our kids, we need to be aware of those things. Again, you got to be aware of those things way before your adult children become adults. And I guess our ability to reconcile those things, and you have to learn how to remove the bad parenting from the good parenting. That doesn't mean you let your kids get away with murder. What I'm saying is that they're, my parents, they would be in prison today for the things they did to me and my sister. And there's physical abuse, there's emotional abuse, and there's psychological abuse and physiological abuse. Look all that up on Google. Google that. There is such a thing as physical abuse and emotional abuse and psychological abuse. And that is not good. And it's things that. That's some of those generational dynamics that are passed down to us. And if we're not careful, we pass that garbage down to our children. And then our children's going to pass that garbage to their children, right? So basically, you have to break the cycle. You have to identify the bad things that your parents used with you. And I'm not saying that discipline is bad. I'm not saying that if you got a spanking, you got your butt whipped because you lied to your parents, or you cursed your parents out, or used cuss words, or if you stole, or you know, broke, your behavior broke, the moral code within the family. You know, children are taught, hopefully, the difference between right and wrong, taught the difference between lying and honesty, taught the importance of earning your way, earning your own money so you can buy things instead of stealing them from others. So there's a whole host of things we can talk about in that subject. So anyway, grandparents in the 1980s, in, you know, 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, depending on your family unit and how close your family is, you may or may not have had grandparents involved in your being raised and being brought up as an adult. If you did, then that's a wonderful thing. And your grandparents were a support system to your parents. They were or should not be there to contradict what the parents are teaching their children, but they should be there to echo those values, and so everybody can be on the same page. The grandparents and the parents should be on the same page, and they should be telling those children very much the same thing. It's just like you don't want your children to pit you against your spouse. Sometimes they'll go to the dad, and they'll know that dad's a softy, and they'll get his permission to do something after the mother's already told them no, right? So parents and grandparents have to be on one page when it comes to instructing and discipline. Number six, balancing support and independence. Discuss the delicate balance of providing support while allowing adult children to develop their independence, both emotionally and financially. Well, there is a good one. We could talk for hours on that, probably, right? Balancing support and independence. Discuss the delicate balance of providing support while allowing adult children to develop their independence, both emotionally and financially. This goes back to the fact that parents transition from a parental role to the role of a mentor. You mentor your children and you provide them with feedback. You don't teach them about life skills or day-to-day activities because they're out on their own and they're adults and they should know all those things. They should know how to brush their teeth and make dinner and put dishes in the dishwasher and change the diapers on the kids and pay the light bill. And, you know, it's all about adulting. And so adults, no matter how young they are, at some point they got to learn these things, or they should have learned these things already and should be actively, be active in that role. And so us as parents, we're more of a mentor to them, to our young adults. And we should never be helicopter parents, but we definitely shouldn't be helicopter parents to our adult children. We need to respect healthy boundaries, and we need to let them live life and let them learn from their mistakes, right? And so if your adult child comes to you, or you're on the telephone or email or however it is, texting or however y'all are communicating in a healthy way, if they come to you and say, you know, hey, this is happening in my life right now, and this is the, I made some bad decisions, and this is the outcome, and this is the consequences I'm learning from that. Would you do it differently? Or how did you do it when you were 17 or 18 or 19 or 20 or whatever it is? And at that point, since they're coming to you for the advice, then you can mentor them. You can tell them stories about how you handled different life issues, right? How you handled budgeting, how you handled saving money, how you handled emergencies with the car, flat tires, you know, whatever. If they are struggling with raising their children, you know, maybe they've got a talking about a generational curse, you know, sometimes our children are a spitting image of ourselves. You know, if we ever wonder, why in the world are they acting like that? Well, just go and go look in a mirror and look at yourself and do some introspection. And unfortunately, our adult children pick up some of our negative aspects of our personalities, right? So balancing support and independence, emotionally and financially, we have to allow our adult children to be adults emotionally and financially. Again, we can't be helicopter parents. We can't hover around them and dictate to them how they should respond emotionally to a situation. We cannot become the bank of parents. We can't be handing out interest-free loans every time they screw up and make a mistake. If you do that, then you're enabling them. You're enabling them to not learn. You're enabling the bad behavior. You're enabling the bad decision-making. Number six is a good one. Seven is career choices and passion pursuits. This is interesting. Explore how parents can navigate discussions around career choices and pursuing passions with their adult children, encouraging them to follow their dreams. Wow, that is a good one. Because how many times have we thought or heard somebody say, well, that's not really what I had planned for their life. I wanted my son or daughter to be a doctor and follow in my footsteps. I wanted them to be an attorney. I wanted them to be an electrician or plumber, or be a police officer or a nurse. What it is, whatever your vocation is, your children are not necessarily going to have the same passion as you, because they're different. They're unique. They have their own intelligence. They have their own emotions. They have their own dreams and their own passions and their own pursuits. And as parents, we can't get in the way of those things. We should encourage them. Now, if they say, yeah, I want to be an assassin, well, obviously there's a problem with that, right? Especially if you have a conscience and you want to be able to sleep at night, that's probably a line of work that you ought not get into. And that's probably something that it would be normal for us to have them think about. think twice about that. If you hear my dogs barking, that's because my wife just came home, and I'm just going to keep going. Hopefully, you're not hearing the dogs bark. I hope this noise-canceling microphone is canceling that stuff out. Again, if you hear the dogs barking, that's what's happening. She's coming home and coming through the door, and my 8-year-old lab is, or 14-year-old lab is losing her mind. So where was I? Number eight. Relationships and marriage. Discuss the role of parents in the lives of their adult children as they navigate romantic relationships and marriage, offering guidance and respecting boundaries. Discuss the role of parents in the lives of their adult children as they navigate romantic relationships and marriage, offering guidance and respecting boundaries. That's an important one. Because our adult children, when they become teenagers, they're gonna want to go to the prom. They're gonna want to interact with the opposite sex. And as parents, it's our responsibility to not be helicopter parents, but to instill good values, relationship values in our children. In other words, I mean, what's the most important thing we can do to teach our kids about relationships? By having a healthy relationship with our spouse. The mom and dad should have a healthy relationship, and they should be modeling a loving, constructive, supportive, emotionally and physically supportive relationship in front of their children. Our kids learn from us. Our children learn from us, and they learn how to live life because of what we teach them in our homes, hopefully. And if we don't teach them in our homes, guess what? Their friends, the internet, and the world will teach them. And trust me when I tell you this, some of that may happen anyway, despite your best efforts, but your best effort should be to instill some of these behaviors in your children while they're young, while they're at home as they're adolescents and becoming young adults. So they'll have that to fall back on. Number nine is financial literacy. We've already kind of talked about that. Provide insights on teaching financial responsibility and independence to adult children, including discussions on budgeting, saving, and investing. Right? Very important things. Empty nest syndrome. Address the emotional aspects of the empty nest syndrome, offering advice on finding purpose and maintaining a fulfilling life once children have moved out. That topic is geared more towards us as parents. So that's all I'm going to say about that. You know, Katie and I are empty nesters. Our kids have been gone for, or I should say our children have been gone for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. Now we have 2 dogs and 2 cats. So we have fur babies, right? I'm not sure what it is about women and children, but they have a need for pets. And I learned 33 years ago, over a period of time, that happy wife, happy life. And men, if you don't understand that yet, you're in trouble. So anyway, thank you for listening to today's episode. You can listen to this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Apple, and Public Radio. You may contact us at jamescmoffitt@outlook.com. That's James C. Moffitt, M-O-F-F-I-T-T, @outlook.com. Please share our podcast with your friends, family, and coworkers, and other parents that you know, and have a blessed day. I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to know you're not alone, and I hope that you are on our Facebook Parenting Adult Children group. It's a private group. And I hope that you sign in there and get a free membership and share your stories, either anonymously or as yourself, with other parents and let them know what you're dealing with so that you can hear their stories and hear their solutions and their encouragement. If you listen to these 10 topics and there was something that you're more interested in than others, then write me an email at jamescmoffitt@outlook.com. And let me know that. Let me, hey, I like number 6, or I like number 8, or number 10, or 2, or whatever number it was. Just let me know of your interest in it. I'll try to research it and come up with something for another episode, okay? If I don't hear anything from anybody, then I'm just going to kind of plug along and do the best I can with what I have, right? All right, well, thank you for the privilege of your time. I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you find this helpful. All right? Talk to you later. Bye-bye.